Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here's what you're playing for. Eagles honorary captain. Prior to the show, I put a name in an envelope of a past or present Eagles player. We sealed it. We opened it up. Now you're going to get a chance to ask one question about the player, a yes or no question, and then you must guess who you think it is. The caller who correctly guesses the name of the player will be the daily winner and receive a glow-in-the-dark Eagles t-shirt designed by Jason Kelsey. And then at the end of the show today, all the daily winners will be placed into a random drawing with one person winning the Eagles honorary captain. That includes two tickets to the game, two pregame sideline passes, and one Philadelphia Eagles jersey of your choice, courtesy of the Philadelphia Eagles Pro Shop at Lincoln Financial Field. Just have a yes or no question ready and do it right now. And we're going to start with Rob. What's up, Rob?
Did this player play in the 90s?
I should say that. I said this earlier, Rob, so I'll give you the benefit. It is a player that played in the 2010s, so he played in this decade.
Okay. Is he a wide receiver?
He is not.
I'm going to go with Kevin Cobb.
It is not Kevin Cobb. Ray in Poconos. Ray, ask your question.
Did he win a Super Bowl with the Eagles?
He did win a Super Bowl.
Jason Kelsey.
Is it Jason Kelsey? It is not Jason Kelsey. Tracy in Delco. Tracy.
Did he play defense?
He did play defense.
Dahani Jones.
It is not Dahani Jones. Adam in Delaware, what's your question?
Was he a defensive lineman?
He was not a defensive lineman.
All right, I'm going to go with...
3 seconds.
Malcolm Jenkins.
It is not Malcolm Jenkins. Sean in King of Prussia. Sean.
Was he a linebacker?
He was a linebacker.
Danelle Ellerby.
It is not. Jordan in Thorndale. Jordan, how are you? What's your question?
Doing well.
What you got?
Is the number after 50?
His number is after 50, yes.
Camior Granger Hill.
It is not. Anthony Lansell, what's your question?
Was he currently playing when we won the Super Bowl?
Was he currently playing when he won the Super Bowl?
Yeah. In other words, was he injured?
I mean, he's a linebacker, but was he on the coaching staff or was he actually playing?
He was playing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't on the coaching staff. Yes, he was playing. 3 seconds.
Linebacker.
All right, you're out. Bobby in Wilmington, what's your question, Bobby? 888-729-9494.
Was he a starting player?
He was a starting player.
Was it Nigel Bradham?
It was not Nigel Bradham. Matt in Medford. Matt.
Come on, Matt.
What's your question? Oh, my goodness. Ryan in Fishtown. Ryan, what's your question?
Is he still playing today?
Is he still playing today?
For the Eagles.
He is not.
Michael Kendricks?
Is it Michael Kendricks? You're damn right it's Michael Kendricks, Ryan.
Woo!
You qualify, man.
Good job.
Let's go, Bird!
My man. All right, hold on. Yes, you qualify. So at the end of the show, coming up here in less than a half hour, we will pick from the four qualifiers.
And since we're down here, I can't get into my boogie.
No, but Mike Florio can. Mike Florio is known to be a big Cool in the Gang fan. He joins us right now. What's up, Mike?
I know a little Cool in the Gang.
Damn. Yeah, man.
Celebrate good times. Come on. It's about time they figured out it was Michael Kendricks. I was shouting Michael Kendricks into the microphone.
Were you?
I was over here clueless. Mike, they didn't tell me before the show.
I did have Michael Kendricks as an idea because I was trying to refund my Google searches based upon the answers. I mean, I may as well kill time while I'm sitting here listening. It's either that or have my thumb in a spot where thumbs aren't supposed to go.
Yeah, we don't want that. We don't want that. Hey, Mike, before we get to the Eagles, the reaction with everybody pretty much across the board with Lamar Jackson, the way he's played this year, and then again last night, I mean, you know, Pat Mahomes had an unbelievable year last year, and he's come down a little bit. I think maybe they defended him a little bit differently. He's been injured. But Lamar Jackson, I mean, he's the best since who? You know what I mean? Like, the best debut or the best coming out since who?
Well, I don't know.
He's been so good.
I mean, it's since Mahomes, and that's what's amazing, man. Mahomes was so transcendent last year. I thought it would be years before we had another, like, a Dan Marino type of a, my God, look at what this guy's doing, and it's different than what we're used to seeing, and the way Mahomes throws the ball from any body angle in any arm position and just has the lightning release, and he throws on the run, and he makes things happen, and he's, you know, no-look and left-handed and sidearm and all the different things he does. And then here comes Lamar Jackson, who is a transcendent talent in a very different way. And you know, with Mahomes, the end result of last season, the AFC Championship game, the work that defensive coordinators did throughout the offseason, the idea was you take away the deep stuff, you take away the opportunity to make the spectacular throw, and you force him to be patient. And I think that's a way to contain him, to slow him down, to maybe frustrate him. With Lamar Jackson, I don't know what they're going to come up with. Because, and Kyle Shanahan, the 49ers coach, explained this a couple of weeks ago before the 49ers played in Baltimore. This really isn't a gimmick offense. This is an offense that takes the guessing game for a defensive player. Is it a run? Is it a pass? That pre-snap effort where you try to use your film study, your understanding of formations, down and distance. Is it a run? Is it a pass? Am I crashing to the line? Am I dropping into coverage? What am I doing here? You extend that guessing game beyond the snap with Lamar Jackson. You force defensive players to be on their heels. It's kind of like why the RPO works. You're forcing defensive players to just kind of pause, and you want to get that half second where they freeze, and the next thing you know, the ball's out or Jackson's gone, and it's too late for you to do anything about it because you spent the first half second or full second of the play trying to figure out what the hell he's going to do, if that makes any sense at all.
Yeah.
No, it makes sense. I think when you have and having to have played against Mike Vick when he was at his best, and he obviously wasn't the thrower that Lamar Jackson is in just his second year, his first full year playing the quarterback position. Man, you're watching to go along with an offense that complements those skill sets, like you said, it makes it difficult to defend him because there's an answer to every question a defense may pose to that offense. There is an answer to defeat that defense, and it's just a matter of whether or not Lamar is going to be able to solve that throughout the course of that play. So I think the marriage with he and Greg Roman, it's just perfect. It's perfect for him.
Yeah, and the question is how long is that marriage going to last, because Greg Roman becomes a very hot coaching candidate right now, and that disrupts it moving forward. But the thing about Mike Vick, and people want to compare him to Mike Vick, and look, he's better than Mike Vick ever was because he puts in the work. Mike Vick relied upon his God-given running ability as a crutch. Lamar Jackson doesn't do that. He uses his running strategically. And you may have noticed last night, I saw three different occasions where Lamar Jackson ran out of bounds, which is kind of a new thing for him. He had been, traditionally, when he decides to run, a running back. And he runs like a running back, and you don't see a lot of running backs running out of bounds. So he's starting to learn, I think, and maybe because he injured his leg last week against the Bills, he's starting to learn that there is a wisdom in avoiding taking hits. He took a big one on the play where he set the record, the single-season rushing record, but three different times he ran out of bounds. And I think that the quicker he matures in that regard and understands that's what he needs to do, the longer he's going to continue to play at this dominant level.
Yep. Can't wait to see him in the playoffs coming up here. All right, Mike, last week Eagles needed overtime to beat the Giants, and Carson Wentz really, you know, put the team on his back with practice squad guys and Boston Scott and Greg Ward. And, I mean, I guess our reaction to the game was Ike thought it was like one of those moments that could further a run or start something special for this team, as you like to say, start the lawnmower. I mean, I thought it was really good, but I don't know if it means anything for this week.
No, I think it does. I agree with Ike that something happened in the second half that woke up Carson Wentz and gave him a different level of confidence. We saw it happen with Bears quarterback Mitch Trubisky a couple of weeks ago on Thanksgiving against the Lions, where something happens that can carry over into the next game. And when Carson Wentz takes over and makes it happen, when you're down to so few healthy receivers that Josh McCown potentially is going to come in and play receiver, I think that's the kind of thing that does help the Eagles do what we've seen them do each of the 2 years prior to this season, where they get hot late in the year. Now, they were hot all year long in 2017, but after the Carson Wentz injury, they had to have that kind of second life that came with Nick Foles. Last year, it was after Wentz was injured and they were backed against the wall. They had to find a way to win games, and they did. And I feel like they're kind of sliding back into that mindset where they're going to find ways to win games. And, you know, this week really doesn't matter. It's all going to come down to week 16. But I think it would be very beneficial for the Eagles to get a win, especially if the Cowboys lose, to have a one-game lead going into that rematch. I just think psychologically that helps the Eagles. But I really do believe it's all going to come down to week 16. But I think it's more likely that the Eagles win in week 16 if they can pull off a victory in Washington on Sunday.
Yeah, the last thing that team needs, and speaking of the Eagles, is to lose Sunday's game and have to deal with us for 6 days waiting on that Cowboys game to happen. So instead of us being happy and anticipating this big game coming up, we'll be focused on that loss to the Redskins, and that certainly wouldn't be good for anybody. Mike, when you look at the rest of the NFC, we're in December, man, and is it San Francisco's conference to lose, or do you give the edge to Seattle right now, or am I leaving out Green Bay and New Orleans? One of those two teams should be the cream of the crop.
I think based on what we saw last week, San Francisco's in the driver's seat for now. They have to avoid stepping into a trap against the Falcons. I think they will, because Kyle Shanahan may have some lingering beef with the Falcons and the way they tried to blame the Super Bowl 51 loss on him as he was heading out the door to become the 49ers coach. So I think they'll be all right. Yeah, I think it's going to come down to week 17, San Francisco at Seattle. Can the 49ers go up there and win? We saw a great game between those two teams in primetime. I won't be shocked if this game ends up being flexed into primetime. One of the games from week 17 will end up in that 8:20 p.m. Eastern slot. And right now, I think the 49ers are the best team in the NFC, just like the Ravens are the best teams in the AFC. But I think the 49ers have stiffer opposition to run that table right and get to the Super Bowl. And, you know, one team to keep an eye on, and this is all going to come down to whether or not Kirk Cousins can continue to play like he has with the season on the line. And they're heading into the final three games, and they need to keep winning, or the Rams are going to catch them. If Kirk Cousins can keep it going even as the stakes rise, and we know historically he can't, if all of a sudden he can, that's a dangerous team on the road in the playoffs. They go to Lambeau Field in January. I think they're better suited to win out in the elements at Lambeau Field than the Packers are. They go back to Seattle. They go to San Francisco. This is a team that has enough talent on both sides of the ball. And I don't think they'd be intimidated by playing anyone, anywhere. They had that game against Seattle where they kind of proved to themselves late that they really can hang with a great team on the road. I think the Vikings could be one of those dangerous teams that starts surprising a lot of people if they get in. That may be the thing. They may not even get in. And likewise, if the Rams get in, they're a team that could go on the road and beat people too. Yeah. So, you know, the NFC playoff picture, I think, is going to be very intriguing. And if you do get in, you're going to be facing some tough games.
Yeah. Mike, so you do have the Eagles beating the Redskins on
Sunday? Yes.
Okay, what about the Cowboys and the Rams? You know, listen, the Cowboys are underdogs at home to the Rams, and I don't think if you watch the Cowboys play the last month, you can see exactly why they're underdogs, right?
Yeah, and I think if you watch the way the Rams have played since they were blown off the field by the Ravens, you can see why they're favorites. It's only a point and a half, but I think the Rams are going to win that game. And I think, you know, the Cowboys are going to extend their losing streak to 4, and the question's going to be, can they get it turned around with the season on the line next weekend in Philadelphia? But I really do think that Jerry Jones just needs to stop doing the 2 radio spots a week, the president on the South Lawn for 25 minutes after every game. There end up being mixed signals and mixed messages to the locker room, and I just don't think it helps anybody. It's clearly not working. So I just think that the damage has already been done, and this team has lost its way. And You know, they really, even though they could lose on Sunday to the Rams and still win the division if they win their last two games, even if the Eagles win on Sunday, I don't think you want to see that losing streak go to four. I don't know that they are ever going to be able to get the lawnmower started if they don't win this weekend at home, but I don't think they're going to.
Yeah, I think we both agree. Mike, appreciate it, man.
I think the Eagles are going to win the division. Right now, I think the Eagles are going to win the division. Everybody assumes it's going to be the Cowboys. I really do think it's going to be the Eagles hosting the 49ers or the Seahawks in the wild card round and bring out the dog masks again.
And that's that's your favorite thing when a 9-7 team hosts a 12-4 team, right, Mike?
Well, and 9-7, 8-8 maybe. I mean, it's even worse. And here's the other thing, too. I don't know if you saw Vic Fangio's idea. The Broncos coach wants to get rid of all divisions and just do 16 teams in each conference, and your schedule consists of playing every other team in the conference once plus one interconference game. That would be the best way to determine the best six teams for playoff purposes. That would be the ultimate meritocracy. They're never going to do it. But that just, it shows you how ludicrous it is to put four teams in a division and say that one of those teams, no matter how bad all four teams are, one of those teams is hosting a playoff game. That's a messed up system.
Yeah. All right, Mike, appreciate it.
It's a good system for the Eagles this year, potentially.
Yeah, we love it. We love it. It's great. All right, man. Talk to you next week.
All right, brother.
There he is, Mike Florio. We'll come back. We have our picks, and we're going to pick our winner for our contest to see who joins us on the field to be Eagles honorary captain. We do that next. Mark Sinrisse on 94WFE. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, fellas, do you struggle every Christmas banging your head against the wall trying to figure out what to get your wife or your girlfriend? Well, save yourself the headache this year. You ask how? By giving her the next best thing to wearing nothing at all with soft, silky, nudie sleepwear available exclusively at Pajamagram. Sensuous and smooth, Nudie's pajamas feel just like her own bare skin, and the texture and touch of Nudie's pajamas is so seductive, you'll both stay occupied well into the evening. Oh, she's going to love the feeling of wearing next to nothing at all, and you're going to love the way they look. Plus, listen to this, every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging. That's like icing on the cake for some of you guys, because I know most of you guys don't know how to wrap. Now, they're also backed by a 100% lifetime guarantee, so you risk nothing at all. And delivery is guaranteed by Christmas, so get her something special she'll really love and take care of the hardest person to shop for on your holiday list today. Here's what you got to do. It's...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.